The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday in Lent is from Ezekiel chapter 33. So you, son of man, I have made a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. If I say to the wicked, O wicked one, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from his way, that wicked person shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, that person shall die in his iniquity, but you will have delivered your soul. And you, son of man, say to the house of Israel, thus have you said, surely our transgressions and our sins are upon us, and we rot away because of them. How then can we live? I say to them, as I live, declares the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked would turn from his way and live. Turn back. Turn back from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? And you, son of man, say to your people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him when he transgresses. And as for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall by it when he turns from his wickedness. And the righteous shall not be able to live by his righteousness when he sins. Though I say to the righteous that he shall surely live, yet if he trusts in his righteousness and does injustice, none of his righteous deeds shall be remembered. But in his injustice that he has done, he shall die. Again, though I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, yet if he turns from his sin and does what is just and right, if the wicked restores the pledge, if he gives back what he has taken by robbery, and walks in the statutes of life, not doing injustice, he shall surely live. He shall not die. None of the sins that he has committed shall be remembered against him. He has done what is just and right. He shall surely live. Yet your people say, the way of the Lord is not just, when it is their own way that is not just. When the righteous turns from his righteousness and does injustice, he shall die for it. And when the wicked turns from his wickedness and does what is just and right, he shall live by them. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not just. O house of Israel, I will judge each of you according to his ways. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I want you to know, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food. All ate and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality, as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed, lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter. There were some present at that very time who told Jesus about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And he answered them, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." And he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, "Look, for 3 years now, I've come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground?" And he answered him, "Sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and put on manure. Then, if it should bear fruit next year, well and good. But if not, then you can cut it down." This is the gospel of our Lord. Our sermon text today is Luke 13, verses 1 to 9, the gospel lesson just read. You may be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, almost all of the news media has gravitated to the internet in some form or another. Instead of sitting on your couch watching the national or local evening news on TV, or sipping coffee at the kitchen table with the San Francisco Chronicle, now you can read and watch national or local news on your smartphone, or your tablet, laptop, or desktop computer. An old type of news that now has become popular again with the rise of internet news are the articles that start "the best of" or "the worst of." In March 2013, the people of my former parish in Evansville, Indiana, got quite a bit of a shock when they were listed on one of these worst of, when that city placed 8th out of 11th worst places to live in the United States, as determined by the Gallup poll. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? 8th out of the 11th worst places. And on top of that, 2 years before, in March 2011, the Gallup poll determined that Evansville is the most obese city in the United States. I am serious. You can talk to my wife and daughter. We all went through this. Is this really true? Now, I have lived and worked in all sorts of places in the United States, including on the border of Harlem in the city of New York, and you all know about Harlem. Number two, about 3 miles away from Chicago's Near West Side, and the south side of Chicago is no longer the baddest part of town. The Near West Side is. And I was 3 miles from there. And then about 3 miles away, where I worked, from the north side of St. Louis, where all those riots took place a couple years ago. Now, compared to those places, I don't think that Evansville is that bad in either the obesity or the worst places categories. So it makes you wonder who runs these polls and what they're really up to. The behavior of people comparing themselves to others is as old as human history. In one of Jesus' parables, the Pharisee in the temple compared himself to the tax collector and thought he was much more righteous, Luke 18. And the parable was based on the real behavior and attitudes of the Pharisees of that day. Now, when it comes to comparing ourselves to others in the matter of religion or morality or sin, we Christians are just as bad as anybody else. Already, in our elementary school days, we learn to judge our peers' bad behavior and condemn them. Well, you remember the talk at lunchtime. Did you hear? Greg got sent to the principal's office this morning. He had to stay with the principal until his dad picked him up, and boy, was his dad mad. Or, you won't believe this, Sherry got caught stealing earrings at Target. Her mother grounded her for a month. You remember those? Well, we refine the art of the sinner put down in high school, and we master it as adults. You all remember how the old folks used to talk about the black sheep in the family, and I was always looking forward to meeting that person, but never did. The younger folks today talk about their friend from high school who got in trouble with the law. Everybody talks about the mom who had a child without marriage, but then why don't they talk about the dad in those cases? Why does the woman get all the bad rap? Or people talk about the couple who are living together apart from marriage. Obviously, it's wrong. The unwed mother and the cohabiting couple, for their part, point to people who are worse sinners than they are. And this would all seem to be a game, except that it is so serious and damaging to reputations and relationships. In our gospel lesson this morning, a couple of people met Jesus and told him about the local news. "Did you hear about so-and-so?" they said. They thought that those who had died in those disasters were worse sinners than they were. It only made sense. In one disaster, part of the fortifications of Jerusalem, a tower on the outer wall in the southeast corner of the city had collapsed and killed 18 people. That's the picture that's on the front of your bulletin. It's an artist rendition, you understand. In another disaster, a group of Galileans had come to the temple in order to offer their animal sacrifices. The procurator, Pontius Pilate, was tipped off that they might be terrorists. So he had his soldiers go into the temple and kill them as they were offering their sacrifices. Well, it turned out they were not. The Galileans had no weapons with them, and they were just killed innocently. Jesus rebuked the people that had come to him with these news stories. In verses 2 to 4, he said, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other sinners because they suffered in this way? No, they weren't. Or those 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who live in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, they weren't." So, well, what does this mean? Is Jesus saying that there is no real right and wrong, and everything is relative, as many people do argue today? Well, no, certainly not. Is he saying that all sins are alike, so there is no difference if you punch some guy in the nose or shoot him in the back of the head? Well, no, he's not saying that either. So what does this mean? Jesus and the Bible teach that some sins are worse than others, both in terms of their weight on the scales of eternal justice and in terms of the damage they cause to yourself and to your neighbor. These mortal sins are listed in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 10, and Revelation 21, verse 8, among other places. Now, Lutherans define mortal sins differently than the Roman Catholics. For Lutherans, mortal sins are defined as those that damage or drive out faith. Our Lutheran confessions state, quote, "Faith is no idle knowledge, nor can it exist with mortal sin. But faith is a work of the Holy Spirit. Apology 4, section 115. Luther explains this teaching, of the Lutherans anyway, in more detail in the small called Articles, Article 3, section 3. Luther writes, "It is necessary to know and to teach that when holy people, aside from the fact that they still possess and feel original sin and daily repent and strive against it, that when they fall into open mortal sin, as David fell into adultery, murder, and blasphemy, then faith and the Spirit have departed from them. This is so because the Holy Spirit does not permit sin to rule and gain the upper hand in such a way that such sin is committed, but the Holy Spirit represses and restrains it. Yet it is also true, as St. John writes, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." End of quote from the Small Called Articles. In our gospel, Jesus was not saying that all sins are equal. What he was saying is that you cannot judge a person's morality, sin, or faith on the basis of the disaster that they suffer. The corollary of this, the other side, is you can't judge a person's morality, sin, or faith on the basis of the fortune that they may have, their success, their wealth, their good health, or other fortunate circumstances. Do you remember Job's friends? They all thought that Job suffered many disasters because he was a worse sinner than they were. Well, that only made sense. But at the end, God rebuked them all for saying that God had punished Job with disasters for his sin. God said to them, "You have not spoken of me what is right, whereas my servant Job has." That's Job chapter 42. And actually, we know that Job suffered all these trials just because he had the most faith of anyone, and Satan was trying that out, was tempting it. What then are we to make of the disasters that come to some of us, but not to others? Jesus teaches clearly in verses 3 and 5 of our text, "Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." God has let the devil and his evil angels harass mankind with disasters of all sorts, including sudden death, so that you will know that there will be someday a day of judgment for all mankind. Not one of you is exempt from this, because you are all sinners and subject to the curses of Eden and death. You can only be saved from judgment by God's grace, for Jesus' sake, through faith in his promises. Therefore, your response to death and disasters of all sorts should be daily repentance of your sin, as well as the public repentance you express Sunday mornings before the entire congregation in our liturgy, Divine Service 3, on the first page. Baptism is the first of many repentances through which you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways. Repentance continues baptism and includes faith, in which you believe the promises of the gospel, which includes the forgiveness of your sins, the resurrections of your body, and life eternal. May our Lord grant you such repentance and faith until his kingdom comes. In Jesus' name, amen.